Chapter 7. Queen designs to signify it to the bishops in Ireland in form, and to take notice that it was done upon a memorial from me, which Mr. Harley tells me he does to make it look more respectful to me, etc. Semicolon, and I am to see him on Tuesday. I know not whether I told you that, in my memorial which was given to the Queen, I begged for £2,000 a year more, though it was not in my commission. But that, Mr. Harley says, cannot yet be done, and that he and I must talk of it further. However, I have started it, and it may follow in time. Pray say nothing of the first fruits being granted, unless I give leave at the bottom of this. I believe never anything was compassed so soon, and purely done by my personal credit with Mr. Harley, who is so excessively obliging, that I know not what to make of it, unless to show the rascals of the other party, that they used a man unworthily who had deserved better. The memorial given to the Queen from me speaks with great plainness of Lord Wharton. I believe this business is as important to you as the convocation disputes from Tisdall. 7. I hope in a month or two all the forms of settling this matter will be over, and then I shall have nothing to do here. I will only add one foolish thing more, because it has just come into my head. When this thing is made known, tell me impartially whether they give any of the merit to me, or no, for I am sure I have so much that I will never take it upon me. Insolent sluts! Because I say Dublin, Ireland, therefore you must say London, England. That is Stella's malice. Well, for that I will not answer your letter till tomorrow day, and so and so. I will go write something else, and it will not be much, for 'tis late. 22. I was this morning with Mr. Lewis, the Under Secretary to Lord Dartmouth, 2 hours, talking politics, and contriving to keep Steele in his office of stamped paper. He has lost his place of gazetteer, £300 a year, for writing a Tatler, 8, some months ago, against Mr. Harley, who gave it him at first, and raised the salary from £60 to £300. This was devilish ungrateful, and Lewis was telling me the particulars. But I had a hint given me that I might save him in the other employment, and leave was given me to clear matters with Steele. Well, I dined with Sir Matthew Dudley, and in the evening went to sit with Mr. Addison, and offer the matter at distance to him, as the discreeter person, but found party had so possessed him, that he talked, as if he suspected me, and would not fall in with anything I said. So I stopped short in my overture, and we parted very dryly, and I shall say nothing to Steele, and let them do as they will, but, if things stand as they are, he will certainly lose it, unless I save him, and therefore I will not speak to him, that I may not report to his disadvantage. Is not this vexatious? And is there, so much in the proverb of proffered service? When shall I grow wise? I endeavor to act in the most exact points of honor and conscience, and my nearest friends will not understand it so. What must a man expect from his enemies? This would vex me, but it shall not, and so I bid you good night, etc. 23. I know 'tis neither wit nor diversion to tell you every day where I dine, neither do I write it to fill my letter, but I fancy I shall, some time or other, have the curiosity of seeing some particulars, how I passed my life, when I was absent from M.D. this time, and so I tell you now that I dined today at Molesworth's, the Florence Envoy, then went to the coffee house, where I behaved myself coldly enough to Mr. Addison, and so came home to scribble. We dine together tomorrow and next day by invitation, but I shall alter my behavior to him, till he begs my pardon, or else we shall grow bare acquaintance. I am weary of friends, and friendships are all monsters, but M.D.'s. 24. I forgot to tell you, that last night I went to Mr. Harley's, hoping faith, I am blundering, for it was this very night at 6, and I hoped he would have told me all things were done and granted. But he was abroad, and came home ill, and was gone to bed, much out of order, unless the porter lied. I dined today at Sir Matthew Dudley's, with Mr. Addison, etc. 25. I was today to see the Duke of Ormond, and, coming out, met Lord Berkeley of Stratton, 9, who told me that Mrs. Temple, 10, the widow, died last Saturday, which, I suppose, is much to the outward grief and inward joy of the family. I dined today with Addison and Steele, and a sister of Mr. Addison, who is married to one Mons. Sartor, 11, a Frenchman, prebendary of Westminster, who has a delicious house and garden. Yet I thought it was a sort of monastic life in those cloisters, and I like Lariker better. Addison's sister is a sort of a wit, very like him. I am not fond of her, etc. 26. I was today to see Mr. Congreve, 12, who is almost blind with cataracts growing on his eyes, and his case is that he must wait 2 or 3 years until the cataracts are riper and till he is quite blind, and then he must have them couched, and, besides, he is never rid of the gout, yet he looks young and fresh, and is as cheerful as ever. He is younger by 3 years or more than I, and I am 20 years younger than he. He gave me a pain in the great toe by mentioning the gout. I find such suspicions frequently, but they go off again. I had a second letter from Mr. Morgan, 13, for which I thank you. I wish you were whipped for forgetting to send him that answer I desired you in one of my former, that I could do nothing for him of what he desired, having no credit at all, etc. Go, be far enough, you negligent baggages. I have had also a letter from Parvisel, with an account how my livings are set, and that they are fallen, since last year, £60. A comfortable piece of news. He tells me plainly that he finds you have no mind to part with the horse, because you sent for him at the same time you sent him my letter, so that I know not what must be done. It is a sad thing that Stella must have her own horse, whether Parvisel will or no. So now to answer your letter that I had 3 or 4 days ago. I am not now in bed, but am come home by 8, and, it being warm, I write up. I never writ to the Bishop of Killala, which, I suppose, was the reason he had not my letter. I have not time, there is the short of it. As fond as the Dean, 14, is of my letter, he has not written to me. I would only know whether Dean Bolton, 15, paid him the £20, and for the rest, he may kiss and that you may ask him, because I am in pain about it, that Dean Bolton is such a whipster. 'Tis the most obliging thing in the world in Dean Stern, to be so kind to you. I believe he knows it will please me, and makes up, that way, his other usage. 16. No, we have had none of your snow, but a little one morning, yet I think it was great snow for an hour or so, but no longer. I had heard of Will Crow's 17, death before, but not the foolish circumstance that hastened his end. No, I have taken care that Captain Pratt, 18, shall not suffer by Lord Anglesea's death. 19, I will try some contrivance to get a copy of my picture from Jervas. I will make Sir Andrew Fountain buy one as for himself, and I will pay him again, and take it, that is, provided I have money to spare when I leave this. Poor John! Is he gone? And Madame Parvisel, 20, has been in town. Why, Ty, 21, and I, when he comes, shall not take any notice of each other. I would not do it much in this town, though we had not fallen out. I was today at Mr. Stern's lodging. He was not within, and Mr. Lee is not come to town, but I will do Dingley's errand when I see him. What do I know, whether China be dear or no? I once took a fancy of resolving to grow mad for it, but now it is off. I suppose I told you in some former letter. And so you only want some salad dishes, and plates, and etc. Yes, yes, you shall. I suppose you have named as much as will cost £5. Now to Stella's little postscript. And I am almost crazed that you vex yourself for not writing. Cannot you dictate to Dingley, and not strain your little, dear eyes? I am sure it is the grief of my soul to think you are out of order. Pray be quiet, and, If you will write, shut your eyes, and write just a line, and no more. Thus, how do you do, Mrs. Stella? That was written with my eyes shut. Faith, I think it is better than when they are open. And then Dingley may stand by, and tell you when you go too high or too low. My letters of business, with packets, if there be any more occasion for such, must be enclosed to Mr. Addison, at St. James Coffee House. But I hope to hear, as soon as I see Mr. Harley, that the main difficulties are over, and that the rest will be but form. Take two or three knuckles, take two or three dash galls, stop your receipt in your I have no need on't. Here is a clutter. Well, so much for your letter, which I will now put up in my letter partition in my cabinet, as I always do every letter, as soon as I answer it. Method is good in all things. Order governs the world. The devil is the author of confusion. A general of an army, a minister of state, to descend lower, a gardener, a weaver, etc. That may make a fine observation, if you think it worth finishing, but I have not time. Is not this a terrible long piece for one evening? I dined today with Patty Rolt at my cousin Leach's, 22, with a box, in the city. He is a printer, and prints the postman, oh who, and is my cousin, God knows how, and he married Mrs. Baby Aries of Leicester, and my cousin Thompson was with us. And my cousin Leach offers to bring me acquainted with the author of the postman. 23, and says he does not doubt, but the gentleman will be glad of my acquaintance, and that he is a very ingenious man, and a great scholar, and has been beyond sea. But I was modest and said, maybe the gentleman was shy, and not fond of new acquaintance, and so put it off. And I wish you could hear me repeating all I have said of this in its proper tone, just as I am writing it. It is all with the same cadence with oh who, or as when little girls say, I have got an apple, miss, and I won't give you some. It is plague I twelve epony weather this last week, and has cost me 10 shillings in coach and chair hire. If the fellow that has your money will pay it, let me beg you to buy bank stock with it, which has fallen near 30%, and pays £8%, and you have the principal when you please. It will certainly soon rise. I would to God Lady Gifford would put in the £400 she owes you, 24, and take the 5% common interest, and give you the remainder. I will speak to your mother about it when I see her. I am resolved to buy £300 of it for myself, and take up what I have in Ireland. And I have a contrivance for it, that I hope will do, by making a friend of mine buy it as for himself, and I will pay him, when I can get in my money. I hope Stratford will do me that kindness. I'll ask him tomorrow or next day. 27. Mr. O. 25. The poet desired me to dine with him today. I went to his office.
He is under secretary in Mr. Addison's place, that he had in England,
and there was Mr. Prior, and they both fell commending my hour beyond anything that has been written of the kind. There never was such a hour since Danny's, etc. You must tell me how it is liked among you. I dined with Roe, Prior could not come, and after dinner we went to a blind tavern, 26, where Congreve, Sir Richard Temple, 27, Escort, 28, and Charles Maine, 29, were over a bowl of bad punch. The knight sent for 6 flasks of his own wine for me, and we stayed till 12. But now my head continues pretty well. I have left off my drinking, and only take a spoonful mixed with water, for fear of the gout, or some ugly distemper. And now, because it is late, I will, etc. 28. Garth and Addison and I dined today at a Hedge 30 tavern. Then I went to Mr. Harley, but he was denied, or not at home. So I fear I shall not hear my business is done before this goes. Then I visited Lord Pembroke, 31, who has just come to town, and we were very merry talking of old things, and I hit him with one pun. Then I went to see the lady's butler, and the son of a whore of a porter denied them. So I sent them a threatening message by another lady, for not accepting me always to the porter. I was weary of the coffee house, and Ford, 32, desired me to sit with him at next door, which I did, like a fool, chatting till 12, and now I'm got into bed. I am afraid the new ministry is at a terrible loss about money. The Whigs talk so, it would give one the spleen, and I am afraid of meeting Mr. Harley out of humor. They think he will never carry through this undertaking. God knows what will come of it. I should be terribly vexed to see things come round again. It will ruin the church and clergy forever, but I hope for better. I will send this on Tuesday, whether I hear any further news of my affair or not. 29. Mr. Addison and I dined today with Lord Mountjoy, which is all the adventures of this day. I chatted a while tonight in the coffee house, this being a full night, and now I'm come home, to write some business. 30. I dined today at Mrs. Van Homry's, and sent a letter to poor Mrs. Long, 33, who writes to us, but is God knows where, and will not tell anybody the place of her residence. I came home early, and must go right. 31. The month ends with a fine day, and I have been walking, and visiting Lewis, and concerting where to see Mr. Harley. I have no news to send you. Air, 34, they say, is taken, though the Whitehall letters this morning say quite the contrary. 'Tis good, if it be true. I dined with Mr. Addison and Dick Stewart, Lord Mountjoy's brother, 35, a treat of Addison's. They were half-fuddled, but not I, for I mixed water with my wine, and left them together between 9 and 10, and I must send this by the bellman, which vexes me, but I will put it off no longer. Pray God it does not miscarry. I seldom do so, but I can put off little MD no longer. Pray give the under note to Mrs. Brent. I am a pretty gentleman, and you lose all your money at cards, Sir Estella. I found you out. I did so. I am staying, before I can fold up this letter, till that ugly D is dry in the last line but one. Do not you see it? O Lord, I am loth to leave you, faith dash dash but it must be so, till the next time. Pox take that D, I will blot it, to dry it. Letter 8. London, October 31, 1710. So, now I have sent my seventh to your fourth, young women, and now I will tell you, what I would not in my last, that this morning, sitting in my bed, I had a fit of giddiness. The room turned round for about a minute, and then it went off, leaving me sickish, but not very. And so I passed the day as I told you, but I would not end a letter with telling you this, because it might vex you. And I hope in God I shall have no more of it. I saw Dr. Cockburn 1-2-day, and he promises to send me the pills that did me good last year, and likewise has promised me an oil for my ear that he has been making for that ailment for somebody else. November 1. I wish MD a Merry New Year. You know this is the first day of it with us. 2. I had no giddiness today, but I drank brandy, and have bought a pint for 2 shillings. I sat up the night before my giddiness pretty late, and writ very much, so I will impute it to that. But I never eat fruit, nor drink ale, but drink better wine than you do, as I did today with Mr. Addison at Lord Mountjoy's. Then went at 5 to see Mr. Harley, who could not see me for much company, but sent me his excuse, and desired I would dine with him on Friday, and then I expect some answer to this business, which must either be soon done, or begun again, and then the Duke of Ormond, and his people will interfere for their honor, and do nothing. I came home at 6, and spent my time in my chamber, without going to the coffee house, which I grow weary of, and I studied at leisure, writ not above 40 lines, some inventions of my own, and some hints, and read not at all, and this because I would take care of presto, for fear little MD should be angry. 2. I took my 4 pills last night, and they lay an hour in my throat, and so they will do tonight. I suppose I could swallow 4 fronts as easily. I dined with Dr. Cockburn today, and came home at 7. But Mr. Ford has been with me till just now, and it is near 11. I have had no giddiness today.
Mr. Dopping 3, I have seen, and he tells me coldly, my power is light well enough, there's your Irish judgment. I writ this post to the Bishop of Clare. It is now just a fortnight since I heard from you. I must have you write once a fortnight, and then I will allow for wind and weather. How goes Amber? Does Mrs. Walls 4 win constantly, as she used to do? And Mrs. Stoit 5, I have not thought of her this long time. How does she? I find we have a cargo of Irish coming for London. I am sorry for it, but I never go near them. And Ty is landed. But Mrs. Wesley, 6, they say, is going home to her husband, like a fool. Well, little monkey's mine, I must go right, and so good night. 3. I ought to read these letters I write, after I have done. 4. Looking over thus much, I found 2 or 3 literal mistakes, which should not be when the hand is so bad. But I hope it does not puzzle little Dingley to read, for I think I mend. But methinks, when I write plain, I do not know how, but we are not alone, all the world can see us. A bad scrawl is so snug, it looks like a PMD. 7. We have scurvy tattlers of late. So pray do not suspect me. I have 1 or 2 hints I designed to send him, and never any more. He does not deserve it. He is governed by his wife most abominably. 8. As bad as I never saw her since I came. Nor has he ever made me an invitation. Either he dares not, or is such a thoughtless tisdle, 9, fellow, that he never minds, 10, it. So what care I for his wit? For he is the worst company in the world, till he has a bottle of wine in his head. I cannot write straighter in bed, so you must be content. At night in bed. Stay, let me see where's this letter to MD among these papers? Oh, here. Well, I will go on now, but I am very busy. Smoke the new pen. I dined with Mr. Harley today, and am invited there again on Sunday. I have now leave to write to the Primate and Archbishop of Dublin, that the Queen has granted the first fruits, but they are to take no notice of it, till a letter is sent them by the Queen's orders from Lord Dartmouth, Secretary of State, to signify it. The bishops are to be made a corporation, to dispose of the revenue, etc., semicolon, and I shall write to the Archbishop of Dublin tomorrow.
I have had no giddiness today.
I know not whether they will have any occasion for me longer to be here, nor can I judge till I see what letter the Queen sends to the bishops, and what they will do upon it. If dispatch be used, it may be done in 6 weeks, but I cannot judge. They sent me today a new commission, signed by the Primate and Archbishop of Dublin, 11, and promised me letters to the 2 archbishops here, but mine a for it all. The thing is done, and has been so these 10 days, though I had only leave to tell it today. I had this day likewise a letter from the Bishop of Clare, who complains of my not writing, and, what vexes me, says he knows you have long letters from me every week. Why do you tell him so? 'Tis not right, faith. But I won't be angry with MD at distance. I writ to him last post, before I had his, and will write again soon, since I see he expects it, and that Lord and Lady Mountjoy 12 put him off upon me, to give themselves ease. Lastly, I had this day a letter from a certain naughty rogue called MD, and it was N5, which I shall not answer tonight, I thank you. No, faith, I have other fish to fry, but tomorrow or next day will be time enough. I have put MD's commissions in a memorandum paper. I think I have done all before, and remember nothing but this today about glasses and spectacle cases. I have no commission from Stella, but the chocolate and handkerchiefs, and those are bought, and I expect they will be soon sent. I have been with, and sent to, Mr. Stern, 2 or 3 times to know, but he was not within. Odds my life, what am I doing? I must go right and do business. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.